on, everybody. Welcome in to a Thursday Maize and Blue Reviews. Good afternoon, Michigan football. I'm Dennis Fithian. It is December the 1st, and I'm happy to be here talking with you. We'll do so over the next hour. We are live weekdays at 1 o'clock talking about the latest in Michigan sports. And it's been a lot of great stuff to talk about when it comes down to Michigan. A lot of fun things. Undefeated, you know. Look at this program. It's awesome. Everything going good. And then today happened, this morning, where it is a situation that a captain on the Michigan football team is going to have to deal with that. We're going to get to that straight ahead. And let's do it. I want to tell everyone that if you're looking for the latest on the Maize in Blue, you can go to michigan.rivals.com and sign up for a subscription to the Maize in Blue Review, and you'll know everything that's going on with the Wolverines. You can give it as a gift, the gift of the Maize in Blue Review this holiday season. Awesome gift. Take it from me. Recruiting, the latest on the football team, practice, anything else that's going on, you're right up to speed. Go to michigan.rivals.com for that. Now, as for today, what we'll be talking about, there's some odds that I've looked at for U of M and some of their opponents that certainly that they're going to play on Saturday and then possibly beyond in the college football playoff, I thought were interesting. We'll get to that. We will talk specifically about Michigan's opponent on Saturday night, Lucas Oil Field, the Purdue Boilermakers, and the challenge that Jeff Brohm team presents. We will get to that, but we will start with that breaking news that I alluded to about Michigan's captain, and it's not good news. It is about Mozzie Smith, the Michigan's captain. One of Michigan's captain, Michigan defensive lineman, charged with carrying a concealed weapon. That was a story that broke today. I'm reading from Angelique Shengelis' story from the Detroit News. And here's what Angelique wrote. Michigan defensive lineman Mozzie Smith on Wednesday was charged with carrying a concealed weapon, a felony, according to 15th District Court. The original offense date was October 7th. According to records, the day before Michigan played at Indiana, he is represented by attorney John Shea. So there's the story. Got a lot of things going on here. I got different people texting me and some different things like that. I'm going to take a look at some of these because this is a fluid story and things that that are moving here. And yeah, we might be able to bring somebody on to see Trevor McHugh. Maybe we'll give him a call in a minute and see what he can add. I will add some of the things that I have just been thinking about since this has happened. And I was talking with a lawyer. Myself, we do have a statement from Jim Harbaugh. Well, let's just see what that statement. I'm gonna get to that statement. That was something that's new. A statement from Jim Harbaugh. Let me see if I can get that out there to you. Okay. Let's see if I can get that statement from Jim Harbaugh to you. I would imagine it would be right here. Ready to be read by the latest. Let's see anybody posting it. I do have a copy of it here. Let me see. This is a statement from, statement from Ward Manuel. Let me look and see if I can just get some definite confirmation on some of the latest on this. You'll understand. I don't want to make sure that I'm getting the statement correct, making sure I'm getting it. Here it is. We do. We've got Ward Manuel releasing a statement. We've got Jim Harbaugh releasing a statement on the Mozzie Smith incident. So here it is. So let's just read it here. Athletic Director Ward Manuel says that Mozzie Smith will continue to participate with the program. Quote, "We are aware of the charge against Mozzie from a traffic stop back in October," Manuel said in a statement. "Mozzie was honest, forthcoming, and cooperative from the beginning and is a tremendous young man. He is not and never has been considered a threat to the university or community. Based on the information communicated to us, we will continue to allow the judicial process to play out. Mozzie will continue to participate as a member of the team." So they're aware, and Mozzie's on the team. He's going to Indy. It sounds like he's going to play on Saturday. Here's a statement from Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh says, quote, "I have respect for our judicial process, and with that respect brings confidence that a fair and just resolution is forthcoming," Harbaugh said in part of the statement. Harbaugh continues, "Mozzie's character and the trust that he has earned over the past 4 years will continue to be considered throughout the process." So there it is. And that comes from Ward Manuel. That comes from Jim Harbaugh. And here's what I was thinking. And let's get right to the bottom of these questions that I had, because they have just been answered. What is Harbaugh's role going to be in this? Well, Harbaugh has just issued a statement, and he is standing by his athletic director on that Mozzie Smith is forthcoming and cooperative. And based on the information, he will continue to participate as a member of the team. So that's the effect on the team. You could say it could be a distraction, certainly, the possibility of this hanging over their head, but he is going to continue to participate as a member of the team. That sounds like he's playing on Saturday. And as far as Harbaugh's role, my question is that, you know, he has answered that with a statement as well, coming out in dual statements along with the athletic director. So there's the questions about the effect on the team. There's the question answered about Harbaugh's role and when he will talk. The answer is now, talk, communicate in a statement. And that is good, getting out there, letting this, I don't know, fester, whatever you want to say. Wait till they get to Indianapolis. There would be nothing but what's going on here. Why was there nearly 8 weeks between when this happened, the day before, was it October 7th, before the Indiana game? And why, you know, that long? And then what now? The part about why nearly 8 weeks, and look, there's a lot of people that, you know, that you start comparing, like, well, what about this? And I see a lot of Michigan State people are like, well, you know, this is what happened. Situations, when it comes down to the law and charges or things, you have to take each situation. Trying to compare, you know, how Mel Tucker dealt with his players in the Michigan tunnel and their suspensions to what Jim Harbaugh is doing. I know it's going to be done. I know it's already being done, but you do have to take things on a case-by-case situation. And so that's what I'm doing here with Mozzie Smith. I just like a lot of you, probably wondered, wow, this seems like a very long time. Was there any preferential treatment? Because, you know, Mozzie Smith is an outstanding player, captain on Michigan's team. To wait till, you know, you could say conveniently, whatever, till after the Ohio State game, Michigan with an undefeated season. You could say that even looking at the schedule, when it happened the eve of the Indiana game, the following 2 weeks, you had Penn State, and then I guess there was a bye week in there. The following two games were Penn State and Michigan State, two of the biggest games on Michigan's schedule. So you could say, okay, you know, and those things, you know, you're trying to separate that and doing what's right. Those are legitimate questions to ask. I don't necessarily have the answers if there were preferential treatment. I did ask somebody who is a lawyer in this situation, and not with this particular situation, but I asked if it was, if something like this could, I'm actually looking for my text thread, and here it is. I asked if there was a good reason to wait 8 weeks to file a charge on Mozzie. And the person that I know that who is a lawyer in the state of Michigan and has some experience with things like this, and actually said he had spoke with Mozzie Smith's lawyer, said that the delay is normal. That's what he said. The decision to authorize actually was made 2 weeks ago, but the officer in charge was out of town, and so this didn't get into the system until yesterday. Now you can say, oh, that's convenient. Like, I don't know. Like, you can say that. I understand that. Like, 8 weeks and then wait 2 weeks because of a holiday and the police officer. Like, but I think people that are familiar with things like this happen. These are the kind of delays and kind of situations like this. But, you know, I'm not saying that there has not been preferential treatment. I'm also not saying that there has been. I don't know. I do understand the question about why it would take this long. And so that's why I am putting it out there like that. The indication to me that this will be a situation that will be a plea bargain. This will be pled. And so the felony part of this, you think about, and then you read the statement for Mort Manuel and Jim Harbaugh, who are going to have a little bit more information than we are in this situation. So, you know, originally before I read that statement, I was going to speculate and guess that you would not see Mozzie Smith with Michigan and Indianapolis, but we already know that that has changed and that he is going to play, or he is going to be with Michigan. It doesn't say specifically, you know, if you look at those words, that, you know, he's going to be with the team. So that's a little bit different than saying he will play exactly from what Ward Manuel, but Ward Manuel also is not the, the coach. He said Mozzie will continue to participate as a member of the team. That's me assuming if he's participating as a member of the team that he's going to play. That doesn't say that. And Jim Harbaugh in his statement is just talking about the character and the respect that he has for the judicial process. And he does talk about Mozzie's character, and he's going to say that that's going to be considered. He doesn't say that, oh yeah, Mozzie's playing. What we know is that he's going to continue to participate as a member of the team. That's different than saying that he's playing. Puts it a little bit, you know, it sounds like he's playing. That doesn't mean that he is. So, you know, that's me answering the questions the best I can. Now, let me send a text out to Trevor to see if he said he may have some more information on this. And we'll do that in real time. I should have his number, but instead I just have a Slack here. So I'm going to tell him to call me, and I'm going to have to give him my phone number. And I'm doing that right now. 4520 61. Oh, he wants to come on. I'm not sure if I can do that. Maybe I can. I'm going to say I'm not sure. Maybe I can. About just call right in the middle of it. Let's see if he calls. If he doesn't, I think he's watching. Oh, there he is. And here's Trevor McHugh, the senior editor of the Maize and Blue Review, who is on the hotline. Trevor, it's good to hear from you this afternoon. Do you hear me okay? And maybe it's not, it would be really interesting. Well, I got to just pop him up through. Oh, here, I have to push the right button. There it is. I'm 100% confident that you're on the line now. Trevor, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing pretty good. So the story about Mozzie Smith and the felony gun charge, I have read the statement from both Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh. So the question about whether he was going to be with the team in Indianapolis has been answered. Because Ward Manuel said he will continue to participate as a member of the team. That's not 100% saying that he's going to play. Can you add anything else from what Ward Manuel or Jim Harbaugh had to say in their statements?
Sure. So I can't speak to whether he's going to play or not. We have not gotten any responses on that. So I would make the same type of conclusions that you are making based on the statements. But we did have reporting at Michigan.rivals.com before the statements came out. just a few details about the entire situation. So number one, Michigan did expect that these charges were going to be dropped. And they continue to expect that. That was a big reason that Mazi was not suspended, or this was not addressed publicly beforehand. You know, the MSU comparisons to the tunnel are out there, obviously. The biggest difference is this was a nonviolent crime without a victim. It did not occur in public with video evidence. So had the charges been dropped, it's something nobody would have known about. So they were simply allowing the legal process to play out and protecting Mazi in that way. So also comparisons to Imani Bates, who was pulled over in a gun that did, or excuse me, in a car that did not belong to him, with a gun that had an altered serial number. So in this situation, what we know, or at least what's been reported, is the weapon has been purchased legally by Mazi Smith. He has gone through all of the necessary steps in the process, getting fingerprinting, applying for the license itself. He's completed all the training, et cetera. There appears to be some sort of sticking point, either with the license being approved days after he was pulled over, or some type of issue with the way he was transporting it, you know, from a shooting range or whatever, where it is being considered a concealed weapon. So that's why you're seeing the statement that you're seeing from Ward and Jim Harbaugh there, because Mazi came forward with all these details and has done everything required, and it's why they expect charges to be dropped. Harbaugh addressed the team when this happened. They were forthright with them and discussed the mistake that Mazi had made and making better choices, and, you know, making sure when you're doing things like this, you're crossing your T's and your I's are dotted, is how it was worded to us. So again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if the charges will be outright dropped, or if there will be some type of negotiated misdemeanor transporting a weapon similar to what we saw with Imani Bates. But just to add some background to it, that's kind of why we haven't heard anything until now, and why Ward, Manuel, and Harbaugh made the comments they did regarding Mazi.
Yeah, it's Trevor McHugh, the senior editor from the Maize and Blue Review, who is on the line as we talk about this situation, which, you know, you see the headline, felony gun charge, and you, I don't know about thinking the worst, but you think about, wow, this is a very serious situation. I talked with somebody who didn't want to say, like, the point about when you start talking about a tunnel or Imani Bates. Yeah, that's going to happen because it's sports, it's rivalries, and people want to do that. But a case-by-case situation is going to be really important with this, and actually the details and what happened with this situation. The one thing about Bates, and once you read what Ward Manuel had to say in his statement and Jim Harbaugh, you feel like that, you know, even a situation where you could, you know, there could be a plea or whatever, that, you know, it's not good to have a gun. I don't have a concealed weapon permit myself, but I know plenty of people, and people that have guns, you have to be very forthright and diligent in everything that you do when you have that weapon, from where you're putting it and the documentation that you have with it. So that's not like, you can say it's an innocent mistake, but that's not a mistake that is that people just overlook and say, oh, well, you know, this is it's not like you forgot your wallet. I don't know, maybe, you know, did you forget the documentation or something? You can't do that in a situation like this. So it is serious, but, you know, how serious? And, you know, listening to you, reading the statements from Ward Manuel and then also Jim Harbaugh makes it, you know, you get a little bit better understanding on it.
Yeah, let's be clear. Anytime you're talking about a weapon and a felony charge, it's serious, right? I don't mean to downplay that element of it. But there are more facts to be known and more information will come out. And yeah, being a responsible gun owner starts with that first word, responsible, right? So clearly Mazi was at minimum irresponsible here. And again, we'll let the legal process play out and see more details as they come out, you know? So yeah, I don't mean to downplay the seriousness of it, because yes, a felony charge is a felony charge. But at this point, Michigan feels very confident in the facts and Mazi being forthright with those facts and how the legal process is going to play out. And that's the way they're siding. So obviously, if this does not go that way, we'll have a different story on our hands. But in terms of playing Saturday, I don't know. I mean, sure, like I said, I'm with you. It feels like it's being suggested that he will. He's at least going to be participating with the team. So we'll see. And then how quickly this is resolved in the legal process in terms of a plea or drop charges or anything like that, I don't know either there. So we're just going to have to let it play out.
There you go. Well, good job. It's not something like it has been. I don't even know when the last time, you know, we talked a little bit about name, image, and likeness, and, you know, that's, you know, that's like a perception of a negative story, but this, you know, talking about something off the field and a serious thing, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of this going on when it comes down to Michigan football. It's been an undefeated season. It's been a lot of fun and all of that. And, you know, you already mentioned, you know, yourself, like, you know, you get the rival fans and, you know, I was getting a text from you know, a friend of mine that's a Michigan State fan who was already like, oh no, this isn't good news. I mean, those are the kind of things, like, you know, that happens. You're gonna get dragged for it, and then there's gonna be a lot of speculation about preferential treatment, and, you know, Jim Harbaugh letting this because of the status of the particular player. And I think all of that, not that it's fair game, but it's understandable rivals coming after you when they see a story like this. You know, you would like to say everybody, but, you know, Michigan fans would be doing the same thing. So that is something that you deal with. But when it comes down to the brass tacks of this situation, what happened, you know, how serious it is, and if Michigan is going to, you know, have number 58 out on the field, he's certainly participating with the team, according to the athletic director, then, you know, their information, they're going to know even more than you, Trevor, and I. And so, you know, there's a part about that to say, all right, you know, they're sticking their neck out in the program and, you know, the entire university, you know, for this guy. So, you know, that's part of it, you know, as well. And you're going to have naysayers on all of that. Like, oh yeah, it's football. Of course they're going to do that, whatever. So you deal with those things and then you move on.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things at play there, right? So Michigan has to deal with the truth and the actual charges and the actual process that's playing out. And then there's obviously a huge public relations optics element of this. And that's where the tribalism part bleeds in, where, you know, you're going to see the comments from rivals, and you're 100% right. If it was the other way around, I mean, we know that. We saw what happened with the tunnel incident and some of the comments that were coming from both sides. So sports fandom brings out the worst in some serious real life situations. So not shocked to see any of that. And I do think some of it's understandable. And I would like to know some more facts about, I mean, I've heard a couple theories, and I'm not in a position to hypothesize on why it took the length of time that it did. I understand, you know, some questions coming from other fan bases about that. And then they're obviously going to question if Mazi Smith does play, you know, Harbaugh's decision, given some of the language that he used, you know, back during the tunnel incident. But again, I don't think you can throw a blanket over this. Yes, you're dealing with football players being charged, but it's just, are they the same thing? No. Again, you're talking about a nonviolent victimless crime that sounds like it might be a documentation issue. Again, not downplaying the seriousness of it, but we're talking about, you know, driving with expired tags relative to a gun, right? Versus a player being injured and assaulted with a helmet being used as a weapon. So I understand everything you said. I understand all elements of it. I understand the fans' frustration from both sides of it. I understand how Michigan is handling it, and I understand why rivals might not be pleased with how Michigan is handling it. So we're getting more facts as we go. And again, the most important thing is Michigan's making the decision they're making based on all the facts they have, which is more than we have. And if it turns out, if this goes a different direction, that's where the PR nightmare comes in. So again, we'll let this play out legally and let more of the facts come out, but that's just kind of where we sit today.
You know, the part legally is something that's interesting. I'm not a hunter myself. I don't have a concealed weapons permit. It's been years since I've even, you know, shot a gun, like when I was a teenager, you know, out at some cans, you know, down south, you know, so that's to my extent with firearms. And it gets confusing too. I'd say us, from people that don't know anything about concealed weapons or anything. And it, you know, it varies from state to state. So you have people saying, oh, you can carry anywhere and you're going to have this. But if you have a concealed permit license, you can carry when and how you want with very limited exceptions. If you don't have one, you have to transport a pistol unloaded and locked away in the trunk is one of the things. The moment you step into the vehicle, your weapon is concealed unless you have a CPL. You can't carry it in the car. So they're very specific on those kind of things. And so documentation and all that kind of stuff, I could see where it could get tricky. And, you know, that's the part where when you go through those classes that, you know, that they emphasize, hey, you know, like, this is not, you know, we're not playing around here. This is very serious. It could, you know, it could cost you a lot. So, all right. Hey, Trevor, I don't know why I needed to make that statement to you, but I felt like I did. If there's anything else that you wanted to add in there, go ahead.
No, just I'll build off of what you said because I think it's very true. Owning a weapon is an incredible responsibility. And yes, the laws are complicated, but it is your responsibility to know those laws and to follow them when you make that choice to take on that responsibility. So I'm with you 100%. Regardless of what has happened here, and again, we'll find out the exact details later. But Mazi has made a mistake and he needs to own that because, yeah, you've chosen to go that route and you need to know the law. That's a big part of it, 100%.
All right, Trevor, get back to work. Appreciate you coming on here. And
I was going to say, I'm trying to write a Purdue preview here, and then my phone I wasn't expecting this story today. So, yeah, we'll get back to it and we'll talk football soon enough.
I'm getting ready to talk about Purdue coming up here. Nice foreshadowing on this show. We look forward to talking with you again.
Yes, sir.
and reading all your stuff leading up to Saturday's game. Thanks.
Thanks, Devin.
There he is, Trevor McHugh, calling in on the hotline, just through the board here. Okay, let me just take it's a couple things, and we get back to it. People, I know how people are. I already saw some of the comments that I just hit one of them that said, let's move on. And it's like, I get it. Like, you're a Michigan fan. You know, a lot of people are like, look, this, I don't want any negativity. I don't want any of this. He's participating with the team. Let's move it on. And here's account 22 saying, we don't know enough details to logically talk about it, but you're still going to talk about it. That's not going to stop people from, I mean, that's the way it works. And so you're not going to see me, you know, doing too much of a guessing game, but I understand how this works through the public. And I understand, you know, what, you know, how coaches and athletic directors and universities deal with these things and players. So put all that experience and then lay it out there for you. So I hope you understand that, like account 22. But we will now move forward, and I will emphasize to a few people throughout the rest of the show that if they missed anything that I had to say on Smith and the big story, that they can go back and listen and watch the first 25 minutes of this broadcast, which we dealt with it. All right, with that, we do move on. I have up on the screen, for your entertainment, a gambling site that put the college football playoff lines for just Michigan games. And, you know, we do know that Michigan is a 16.5 point favorite against Purdue coming up on Saturday night. But what about the rest of the teams that potentially Michigan could see when they make the college football playoff, which seems like a foregone conclusion that even if they would lose somehow, we don't want that to happen, but they could. And it still seems like they would get into the college football playoffs. I don't know if these are adjusted. They would adjust. I mean, it's a fluid situation. You never know what's going to happen. You wake up tomorrow and, you know, there's something like happened today. So you never know who's going to be in, who's going to be out. But as of yesterday, Odds Shark had these specific lines to Michigan upcoming potential opponents. One, and the one that I've talked about all week, and I think everybody can recite it chapter and verse about who they want to play and why, you see it spelled out at least with the gambling lines. You want Michigan to play TCU. Michigan would be close to a double-digit favorite, 9.5-point favorite against the Horned Frogs, should Michigan see TCU in a semifinal. That's why people want TCU to win on Saturday and for Michigan to stay at number two. That doesn't mean you get an automatic pass into the championship game, but, man, being a 16.5-point favorite against Purdue, being a 9.5-point favorite against TCU, yeah, you can't take those teams lightly. You're playing for a championship, but just looking at it from the Vegas lines and looking at it from that perspective, you think, man, Michigan's got such a chance here if things play out like they very easily could, and how they are right now, that Michigan could say easily that they've got a really good chance to get to the championship game on January 9th in Los Angeles, in Inglewood. Look at that. And then if TCU would lose and USC would win tomorrow night, I was a little bit surprised at this because I thought Michigan would have been a bigger favorite against TCU than USC, but that's not what Odd Shark says. They have installed Michigan as a 12.5-point favorite against USC. So if somehow, so Michigan not only is in a great spot where they sit right now, if things play out with, you know, how it is right now, and let's just recite it really easy. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC wins. Michigan is likely going to play TCU. Now, if TCU loses and all the other things happen, USC is going to move into that number three spot, and that's where Michigan would play USC. That would be a nice spot for Michigan, too. Either semifinal against either TCU or USC is what Michigan wants, and this is the reason. Double-digit favorites nearly against the Horned Frogs, and then a 12.5-point favorite against the Trojans. That sounds good. You always put into place that you got to be careful what you wish for and all that kind of stuff. I get that, but meanwhile, you do have a rooting interest in what's going to happen tomorrow night and what's going to happen Saturday at noon, even before you get to Michigan's game at 8 o'clock against Purdue. And these other two lines here, Michigan would be favored by a point, one single point, against Ohio State on a neutral field out in Glendale after, you know, Michigan destroyed them by 22 points on the road when they were, what, an 8-point underdog. You know, you see how much closer of a situation that would be if Michigan had to play Ohio State again. And then if they do get to, I don't know if they're thinking that this would be a potential semifinal or this is just what the number is. Even if they get to the championship game, I would imagine that it would change after you see both teams play two more games. But as it sits right now, Georgia would be in a 5.5-point favorite against Michigan. But, you know, the way I look at that and I look at what's going on here is that it's not too good to be true, but this thing's looking real good for Michigan. And, you know, they got to take care of business against Purdue. They have to take care of business in a semifinal. But just even last year and the year before when we talked about recruiting and you talked about the Big Ten against the SEC and, you know, everybody was, you know, is hopeful and, you know, you always, which is true, you say, you know, anything can happen in one game. But the reality when it came to the recruiting stars, I thought it was a pretty big wake-up call against Georgia last year where that cold water came in. It was just like, wow, you know. But that's not what's happening right now. Michigan has two very beatable opponents before they get to a championship game, and that's not the same Georgia team that Michigan faced last year. Yeah, they'll be a little bit of an underdog, likely, as we sit here right now. But a chance to win it all against Georgia with, you know, Michigan, you know, we're talking about January the 9th. I mean, that is it's almost 6 weeks away. You think about healing up a hand and a knee and the possibility of, you know, being full go. Hopefully, I know there's two games to be played in there. So, you know, you cross your fingers on all that. But I could have just come out and said, man, Michigan's got a real nice road here. And they've got a golden opportunity to do something they haven't done in 25 years. And you're living it. You are living it right now, Michigan fans. You know, and there's some ways that, you know, where I said it's not too good to be true, but it almost feels like, you know, you can say, man, this thing is going. And it was kind of a reminder this morning when you saw the Mozzie Smith news. And if you're somebody that's just tuning in saying, well, you're not going to handle the big news. You know, I handled it for the first 25 minutes. You can go back to the beginning of the show and, you know, you can hear my thoughts and everything that I had to say about that situation. And if you are just tuning in, you know, there's been a statement by Jim Harbaugh and Ward Manuel where Mozzie Smith is going to stay as a participant, as a member of the team. And so we'll see what that ends up meaning in terms of playing Saturday and beyond, but that's where it's at. But there's a part where there's a lot of people, you don't know how to act when Michigan's 12-0. It's never happened. You know, 97, they were 12. Like, it just doesn't happen. So, you know, here you are. Just take stock with how you're feeling. You're getting ready with a great chance to go back-to-back in back-to-back against the Buckeyes, and then back-to-back Big Ten titles is what you're hoping for on Saturday night, which is really achievable. I mean, all of those things, and what that happened in 2003 and 2004, so it's been 17 years since Michigan's went back-to-back. But, hell, it had been over 20 years since they'd won at Ohio State. A lot of things. And it's been 25 years since they won the national championship, and they are, got a shot. You know, when you get into the offseason and you talk about, you know, beating Ohio State back-to-back, and you talk about, you know, the winning the Big Ten again, you talk about getting to the college football playoffs, all that stuff sounds, even when I was saying it, even though I thought Michigan was going to be good this year, you know, it sounds a little, I don't want to say homerish, just sounds a little bit like, wow, that's quite an achievement. But it's a funny game, you know, and we play this. It's not a fun game. It's a funny game, and we all play it at some point. And it's that game about, what if, you know, you had a genie? And I'm going to play it for you right here. If I had a genie in the summer, and that genie said, would you take right now, before Michigan played any games? So in August, if that genie appeared and said, all right, you can have Michigan go 12-0. They can beat Ohio State. They can win the Big Ten back-to-back. They can go to the college football playoff, and not only can they go to the college football playoff, but they can win the semifinal and get to the championship game. But in that championship game, they would fall. Would you take that? And if that was presented to me by the genie in the offseason, I would have said yes. And I think many of you would have said yes as well. As you just think about it, and even if you're like, no, I'm not doing that, Michigan could win it all, it was nice of you to, you know, stick by the team like that, but I would bring you over and say, hey, look, just think about it for a second. You're offering a perfect season, 12-0, another Big Ten championship, a victory against Ohio State in the Horseshoe. Just think about what a great season that would be. Going to Indy again, going to the college football playoff, all the way to New Year's Eve, all the way to January 9th, unscathed. You're not going to take that right now? And I think I could talk you into it. I could have talked you into it. Maybe there's a couple of you Michigan fans like, nope, I'm not taking that. No deal. Wow, no deal. No deal. But those no deal people sitting here today, if that genie popped back up and was like, what about that deal now? I would say, no deal. I would say no deal to Michigan getting to the championship game, you know, right now. Winning Saturday, winning the college football playoff, but then losing in the championship game, no deal. I would have taken that deal in August before the season. So that's kind of where I'm at and how I'm feeling about it. I haven't taken any feedback, and I want to do that. I always say, you know, I could sit here and talk at this screen into this microphone all day long, and I give you my feelings about what's happening, but I like to hear where Michigan fans are at with the Wolverines and how they're feeling about it. And so with that, I am now going to read some comments. Matt's looking forward to Saturday. So's Jason. GFF is talking about JJ McCarthy. We will get to him, JJ, tomorrow. I moved some things around. Detroit Sports Talk. GFF there's a lot of Go Blues, and you know, so I don't mind. Like, it looks good on the screen. I'm just going to put a couple of these. One Scoop John, who has a Wolverine, and he's got a Go Blue, and then he's got the emoji of the Michigan emoji. Let's see. You know, people weighing in, because we did for the first 25 minutes talk about Mozzie. So people were weighing in on Mozzie. And, you know, I can understand that with the gum charge and everything else. A couple racy sites want me to check out their hot photo. And, hey, you know, nothing against your site or anything else, but I'm gonna pass. Right now, from taking, you know, I'm just going to take a pass right now when it comes down to that. let's see here. We've moved beyond that part. Matt saying he's still talking about, I thought we were beyond the concealed weapons part. But not yet. People are talking about their own states and their own situations. And, you know, I get that. Like, it can be somewhat of a difficult situation when you're talking about, especially if you're somebody, what I have found with the people that are into guns, I'm like, they know chapter and verse about, you know, everything, like, you know, where they went to, you know, get their permit, the training that they had to go through, just how much they appreciate being able to protect their family, to how much safer they feel themselves being out there in the world that we live in, and, you know, all these kind of things. People are, you know, they like themselves some guns and everything that goes through them. And the people that have, all the people that I know, which are most of my friends, they are, they're into them, they love them, and they're very responsible. I think when they come down to them, I haven't seen anything different about that. And here we go. People are ready to move on. We are moving on. Richard talking about lesson learned. Let's move on. Yeah. GFS ready to talk about some football, and Todd's talking about beating Purdue. Yeah. Richard echoing it. He's about moving on and talking about Purdue. Account 22 says Purdue is bad. I slogged through the highlights yesterday. It was a rough watch. We're going to talk about Purdue in just 1 second. If I can get through some more of the feedback here. And thing is, I don't agree with this, Shane. It's good to see Shane up there. Shane, I haven't yet realized that you put money up there. I haven't yet realized that, you know, where that goes or what that's all about. I like it, as somebody told me I would, but I don't agree with what you're saying here. You're saying Angelique Shingelis, typical, always trying to stir pots. That there couldn't be anything further from the truth to that. I know I've known Angelique for, I don't know, 30 years, and, you know, Angelique's a professional. And, you know, sometimes that requires having to write stories that, you know, aren't nice. Well, I'd say completely pro Michigan, completely, you know, bathing Michigan, or just completely all, you know, hey, everybody's great. Because sometimes things happen that aren't so great, like this situation. And so it wasn't even an opinion piece from her. She was just stating the facts. So you saying that she is trying to stir the pot, maybe you're talking about, it's hard to confuse. Like if you'd have said the Detroit News, typical, always trying to stir the pot, like, you could probably, you know, then you're talking about a litany of different reporters and columnists. You can say, okay, you know, you're probably talking about so-and-so. But specifically when you say Angelique, there's no truth to what you're writing there. She's actually, I would say, never trying to stir the pot. She doesn't stir the pot at all. She is a journalist, and she has to write stories sometimes that you might not like, but she's not doing any pot stirring. So I don't know. It's interesting that you would put that. There's a lot of names that you could have put up there and said, oh, you know, pot stirrer. Oh, he's trying to stir something up. The one dude, Saban, whatever, Monterrez, back in the day, the late Drew Sharp, you know, you'd put out and say, oh yeah, those guys are definitely stirring the pot. There's a couple talk show hosts, Beard, you know, Mikey V. Yeah, those guys are pot stirrers. Absolutely. Those are totally pot stirrers. Account 22 is talking about these spoilers. Richard's saying, we will impose our will on Purdue. Todd's been watching ESPN. He says they're figuring how to get two SEC teams in at this point. Broken pencils, crumpled papers. Well, the path's pretty easy. I mean, like, you don't have to sit around. Like, it doesn't take genius math skills or really anything, football acumen. If TCU loses, Ohio State is getting into the college football playoff. Take it from me. I guarantee it. If TCU and USC loses, Ohio State and, wait for it, Alabama are then getting into the college football playoff. And TCU and USC are just little 2.5, you know, 3-point favorites. So, you know, they can lose those games. I hope they don't. Michigan has an out. They've got a chance for both of those teams to win. And then if just one of them win, they get to play the other one, which is a great. I'm like, you can ask for a lot of things as a Michigan fan, Todd. Let's go ahead. You know, ask for everything you want. 5 stars and undefeated seasons, back-to-back Big Ten championships, winning in Columbus by 22 points. Ask for anything you want. And then ask about getting to the college football playoff. And then you can ask about being a double-digit favorite against one of those teams. Like, it would have been nice if Michigan would have had a chance to play Cincinnati last year and then just let anything happen against let everything hang out against Georgia in a championship game. It didn't happen. But they get not only one shot for those two teams to win, to play one of them, they get two shots. Because if just one of them, they both win, they're good. If just one of them wins, they're good. If they both lose, that's when it gets to be like, oh, no. Now you get a deal. Now you've got to go somewhere that you really don't. I'm not going there. I've talked about it a little bit. But I'm not going there until it happens. And I'm talking about having to play Ohio State and having Alabama in there. It would look pretty, you know, when they say you got the big two conferences and the rest, I mean, if it ends up being Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and Alabama. Oh, the networks, buddy. They're just going to love it. But everybody outside of SEC and Big Ten country isn't. But the networks will love it. These are some juicy matchups. Like I said yesterday, the networks and the majority of the college football nation, besides Michigan fans and TCU fans, everybody else wants TCU to lose. They don't want TCU in there. They want them out. USC's not bad. Now I am repeating myself, which is, you know, it's okay sometimes, but I feel like I've mentioned that scenario a lot. Here's Jesse. We haven't seen Jesse in a while. He's talking about Vegas. Vegas said OSU was an 8.5-point favorite over Michigan, so how accurate are they? Yeah, that's right. That's right, Jesse. I was looking at a guy in the media, NFL type, Albert Breer. You might be familiar with his work. But he's from Ohio State, so you might be familiar with his work. I say, I'm not listening to that Buckeye, even if it's with pro stuff. But I used to listen to his podcast a lot. I don't know what happened to it. For some reason, I stopped listening to it a couple of years ago. But he's pretty good with the NFL. Talks about, you know, all the situations going on with what's going on, you know, in the NFL. But once in a while, it would come up, like, he's an Ohio State guy. And he had a tweet about during the game. And it was, it's something that I've saved and that I'm going to talk about. I was going to talk about tomorrow. Let me see if I put it up on the screen. Give me a little foreshadowing. No, I didn't. So I'll wait on that. That's a tease for tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, Vegas, not that I'm, you know, backing Vegas too much, but don't get too, you know, don't knock Vegas too much. As soon as you start knocking Vegas or you think you got to figure it out, it's like, what does Vegas know? Vegas knows a lot. Vegas got a lot of big, shiny buildings, and they pay a lot of money for those fountains, and they pay millions of dollars to all of these stars to just be on TV and say, hey, why don't you bet? And then everybody's like thinking, hey, why not bet? It's easy. Not that easy. And most people lose. Almost everybody loses. There's a few here and there you don't lose, but I talk about that sometimes. And people are like, I don't care what you say. And I get that. Here is some more concealed weapon talk. Sam, I just hit the like button and I feel better for it. You know what, Sam? In the world of YouTube, that like button is some awesome currency for the Maize and Blue Review and for this particular show. And I do want to say this. I don't often go back, you know, to everybody subscribe to the podcast, you know, hit the like button. I have told people that listen to the podcast, if they can leave comments on the podcast, the one that they listen to, those go a long way from, you know, pushing it up the different rankings when it comes to podcasts. So if you're somebody that exclusively listens to podcasts and you can leave a comment, boy, you know, thank you so much. Hitting the like button on the YouTube, I think it's free. You go over there and hit it. That also helps our visibility and moves us up. This has been a good week for the Good Afternoon Michigan football VCast and podcast. It's not a surprise. I mean, Michigan's 12-0. If you'd have told me before the season, like, how do you think the show will be going if Michigan goes 12-0 and they go down to Ohio State and they pound them? How do you think you'll do? And I said, you know, I think there'll be a lot of people, you know, hopefully a lot of people. I don't know, whatever. It's always relative, you know, a lot of people. But, yeah, the like button is something I like. For some reason, I like these glasses, and there's tape on them. But out of all, I've got like 10 different pairs of reading glasses, and I don't really like these necessarily, how they look, but they feel the best. Okay, let's get to some other things, and that includes not those lines, but the spoiler makers. Let's break down the statistics a little bit. If you just look at the 9 conference games, this is how Michigan stacks up with Purdue. Michigan had the second-ranked offense in the Big Ten, averaging 34.7 points per game. Purdue checked in at number 4, averaging 25.6 points per game for the West champs. How about defensively? Michigan, number 1. You know the stats. You probably know this because you look at them even nationally in the Big Ten. If you like stats and like, hey, Michigan's number 1 here, Michigan run defense, Michigan scoring defense, just like Michigan being 12-0 and being ranked number 2, it already seems like they got a free pass to the college football playoff and that they get all the postseason honors and all that stuff just going to continue to roll in. Man, the stats, Michigan is up there in almost everything. Like, you can just sit back and you're like, wow, Michigan's number 1 in this, they're number 1 in that. I mean, it is, you can sit around bathing in good Michigan statistics for weeks. And here's one of those stats that feels really good to jump in on. Defense, Michigan, number 1. They average just giving up 15 points per game in the conference this year. That's why they're sitting where they're at. You know how many allowed to, how many points Michigan allowed to Ohio State in the second half? The best offense in the country, not just in the Big Ten, in the country. And they had, if he wasn't, Caleb Williams probably was the leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy heading into Saturday, especially after what he did Saturday night. But it was pretty close between C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams for the Heisman Trophy. Michigan's defense picked Stroud off twice and allowed Ohio State just three little measly points in the second half of that game on Saturday on the road. You got to give it up. I am going to give it up. The Michigan defense, I wondered, you know, like they had the schedule and then, you know, the rest of the schedule really set up really nice for them. You know, yeah, they had to go to Iowa, but, you know, what did Iowa really have? And all the way through. And the defense, man, slamming the door shut like they did in the second half, but they're legit. Michigan's defense is legit. They have been proven to be legit, and they were number one. 15 points. Meanwhile, Purdue gives up 24.3 points per game, which was number seven in the Big Ten, seventh in the Big Ten. Not so hot. But if you look at Purdue's season, their best win was against Illinois, and it wasn't so long ago. And we know Illinois's got a pretty good defense. They scored 31 points at Illinois. So you got to say, you got to watch out for that offense. You got to watch out for their quarterback. He can really throw it. And all the way back to the beginning of the season, week one, Purdue lost to Penn State. It was a good game. They only lost by 4 points to Penn State, 35-31. Those were the two big games that I put up looking through their schedule. But something that you're going to see for sure on Saturday is that the Spoilermakers have been under Jeff Brohm. They have played three top five teams. In fact, they played three top three teams, top three ranked teams that were ranked either second in the country or third in the country. They're 3-0 under Jeff Brohm against those teams. You maybe remember a couple years ago when Rondell Moore put up 194 all-purpose yards and had two touchdowns, and Purdue won that game, blew Ohio State out. Number two Ohio State, they blew them out 49-20. That was impressive by the Spoilermakers. And then last year, and this is where it feels a little bit, you say, you know, history and all that, who's on the team from 2018? I don't know, maybe nobody. The quarterback was Blau, who was the QB for the Lions for a little bit. So they got cut this year. Remember that? But mostly Rondell Moore plays for the Cards. So, but last year, the Spoilermakers did it twice. They beat Iowa in Iowa City 24-7. David Bell, who's now with the Browns, had 240 yards in that game. And Iowa threw four interceptions. I would suggest not throwing four interceptions for Michigan on Saturday and not letting any of their wide receivers go for 240 yards. I feel good that they won't let that happen. But also, Michigan State was ranked number three in the country last year. And Michigan State went down to West Lafayette, and they got popped 49-29. And the QB of that game is going to be the QB for the Boilermakers on Saturday, Aiden O'Connell. He ripped up the Michigan State secondary for, wait for it, 536 yards. 536 yards against that Spartan defense. David Bell had 217 in that game. And so Aiden O'Connell can throw it around the yard. I was watching a show called The Rally. It's on at the same time as the Sports Center on Bally's. It's kind of like their Sports Center. And the dude that went to Ohio State, I forget his name, he's pretty good on there, big guy. But he was making the point about the game, and he said that Jeff Brohm has 30 trick plays that he will have installed ready for Michigan on Saturday. And I thought, wow, 30? Like, you have your regular offense, but then they have 30 trick plays. Like, I know Michigan had the jump, the pop pass, jump pass, you know, with Mullings last week. But 30 trick plays. So, I don't know. I'm expecting some trickery from the Spoilermakers on Saturday. And they should feel confident when, you know, that's going to be put up on the screen. Gus Johnson, hey, Joel, watch out, partner. Look at this. You know, and they'll go to that. So that is something that they will talk about for sure. And my heart goes out to Aiden O'Connell, who lost his brother, his older brother, last week. I'm sure they're going to talk about that during the game as well. He announced, I don't know what the cause of death was, but he passed away just, what was it, last week or the week before. So, I mean, he's got a really heavy heart. He's going to be out there playing, and I'm sure that they will at least maybe go down to the sideline. Allison Williams. It's not the All-American girl, Jenny Taft, anymore, but Allison Williams is stepping in. I said tomorrow, I meant Saturday, at Lucas Oil Field, and I'm sure she'll have that story about the O'Connell family. So there you go. That's Purdue. I was going to say in a nutshell, but that's not really, maybe it is a nutshell. I'll say it. That's Purdue in a nutshell. They've had some success against top three teams twice last year. They like to throw it around. They've got a quarterback who has thrown for over 500 yards in a game, did it last year against Michigan State. And Jeff Brohm, he likes to take chances. And, you know, they are in the state of Indiana for whatever that's worth. Should be worth some fans, you know, be able to go, hey, let's just go ahead and drive on down. So, you know, that's it. That's where I'm at. Richard says, I'll read the rest of the feedback here. Richard says, this Michigan team is the best we've had in my lifetime, championship mound. That's quite a statement, Richard, but I don't know how old you are, but I understand where you're coming from. Mark says, the game will lose its importance and charm if we have to beat Ohio State for a third time in 14 months, making them our bitch for sure. You know, I thought a lot about that, and they're going to do away with the divisions, and Michigan's still going to have to play Ohio State. If they already had scrapped the divisions this year, Michigan would have played, they'd have already known that they were playing Ohio State in the Big Ten title game heading into the game. So that is going to diminish it. It is going to diminish it a little bit. But, you know, in the pros, when, you know, it's tough to say in the pros because the Lions, you know, they've been Green Bay's bitch for 50 years and more than 50 years. For 60 years. It's crazy how long they've been. Green Bay owns them. And so, I don't know, the Lions, you know, they play all these teams twice and they're rivals, but all the teams own the Lions. The Lions haven't won. I mean, there's only four freaking teams in their division and they play them twice. And you know the last time that the Lions have won the division? A hell of a long time ago. Was it 95, 93? 30 years? I mean, it's, but the point here is that teams play twice in the NFL, and it's still, you know, it's a game, and it's still a rival, and no, you don't pack everything in, and it doesn't have the meaning of, wow, you lose this game, and everything's over. And just think about it. If they go to 12 teams, you know, it's not going to be, you know, oh, my God, if we lose this game, the season's over. It's going to be like, yeah, you know, you might not have home field advantage. You might you know, be down and have to play the first week. You don't have a bye. But, you know, hey, you get a chance to see him again. So, you know, I think it's going to be okay. I think about it in basketball. I go back to the 1989 season where Michigan lost to Ohio State and they lost to Illinois. And did they play him twice? They didn't beat him at all in the regular season, but then they didn't have a Big Ten tournament. But then they played both of those teams in the NCAA tournament. They beat him. Yeah, football basketball comparison. Scrap that one. Scrap it. Here's the coach, Antoine. He doesn't mind playing TCU or USC when it comes down to it. You're going to have to go through the best anyways. Here's Antoine, who loves playing the easiest teams out there. He likes the road. He likes the easy road. I know that he wants to play TCU and USC. What would have been a surprise, Antoine, if you would have said, you know what, I hope I want to see Ohio State again. I wouldn't mind seeing Ohio State or Alabama, and I want Georgia. No, we've gotten to the point where Antoine is like, he knows you can't have a cakewalk to the 97. I'm reading something. You can't have a cakewalk to the championship. Although you can make a case that maybe this is a cakewalk. All right, let's get to some of these other feedback. It's funny how much things change in a week. The other day, a guy tweeted me saying the game was close late in the fourth quarter before you guys pulled away, hanging their hat on being close. It was close in the fourth quarter. It was a four-point game. That's where I've thought about this a few times, that I think in 5-10, it's good to go back because I can remember a lot of went back in 97. Like when I think about 97, Colorado and just how fast the Michigan defense was in that opener. I think about the game against Baylor. And I remember, you know, sitting in the press box and watching Charles Woodson live and Woodson coming up from his corner spot all the way under the backfield and closing on this back. And I was like, man, that guy is so fast. And I hope every time that the other team had the ball, I hope that they threw at number two because I thought, this would be great. Throw at Woodson. I remember that. And then they played Notre Dame and Michigan turned the ball over three times in the fourth quarter against Notre Dame and the defense had to come up big and Michigan had to win the game. And for where I was sitting, I got to point to this because I'm going to say that there's things that you remember forever. Wherever the sun was, Tommy Hendricks had an interception, Michigan safety, and he had his arms kind of laying down by the goal line. And I was on the photo deck up at the Michigan press box, and I had a great view of that pick. Maybe I would have been down on the field with the sun going down. I don't know. It's kind of, you know, that's the one thing, you know, your mind can start playing tricks on you. You start thinking things. But I do remember that. I remember the Iowa game, Tim Dwight, you know, running one back right before halftime, Michigan going to halftime thinking, whoa, this is going to be a tough one. You know, you keep going through all those. The Ohio State game. I remember a lot about that game. And so the point is going back to Saturday, I'll remember the Cornelius Johnson 69-yard touchdown, the 75-yard touchdown from Cornelius Johnson, the 45-yard touchdown to open the third quarter, Colston Loveland. Remember J.J. McCarthy running the ball in on a long drive, would not be denied. And then I remember in that fourth quarter, like you're talking about, Adam, the fourth quarter, when Michigan was up four and it's first down and I'm thinking Michigan is going to run the ball. They're looking for a long drive. And I don't know if it was Harbaugh or Weissmore. It was either Weissmore or Harbaugh called a bomb and they shot it straight down the field, deep shot. Kojo was right there. There was even two guys on him, but the ball was thrown so well. Kojo was, and he would have caught it, and they had to interfere with him. And I was like, look at this. We'll be talking about JJ tomorrow. All those deep shots and everything that we're talking about with the passing game, you say, you know, confidence, how much confidence is involved in chemistry with the receivers. I wish that guy wouldn't, you know, out of all the things, I wish that guy wouldn't have interfered with Kojo, because throwing a bomb there and having Kojo and having, you know, it just stuck right in there. He would have caught that. That would have been like, wow. As it was a wild play. 15-yard penalty. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Adam continuing on, saying 5 days ago they thought they would trounce us. Now they're hanging their hat on being close. That's right. Richard saying that this is a better rounded team than 97. You know, Richard, you're throwing out the gold standard of Michigan football and asking me to comment on how would the 2022 team, is it a better team? Is it more well-rounded than the 97 team? Wow. Well, you know, if you think about the 97 team, the first thing that comes to mind is they had the Heisman Trophy winner. And then I think, you know, what, if Blake Corum would have played Saturday, I think that, you know, like, I don't know, Donovan Edwards had 200 yards. So Corum could, if he had 200 yards, like, I think the way Caleb Williams played, you know, probably, but you know, he could have won the Heisman Trophy. Like, he was close. So Heisman Trophy, you know, pretty close. You got to say, hey, Blake didn't get hurt against Illinois. That's not too big of a reach. The 97 team, when it says here that the offense was lacking, you know, as much as you say the offense was lacking, they had a great offensive line. Like, they had a Hall of Famer in Hutchinson at guard, Backus, who was a first round pick, Jansen, who was a second round pick. I mean, they had a pretty, who was the center? Zach Adamy, Mo Milt Williams, I think, was on that offensive line. He was in the pro. They had a pro offensive line. And, oh, yeah, Greasy was, you can say whatever you want about Greasy, but, you know, Greasy was drafted and played in the NFL. They had three backs. They didn't have a 1,000-yard back, but the combination of Chris Howard, the blur Clarence Williams, and the freshman, the Louisiana touchdown machine, a.k.a. the A-Train, Anthony Thomas, a pretty good trio of backs. Ty Streets wasn't too shabby. Both tight ends played in the NFL. The Mark Campbell played for the Saints, and Tooman went to the Steelers. And that's not too shabby of an offense, actually. They were conservative because they, you know, they weren't a juggernaut offensively, but they had a lot of talent. And then defensively, I think everybody on that defense played in the pros. Everyone. Marcus Ray, did he have a cup of coffee with the Raiders? It was the corner opposite that had the pick. Andre Weathers, not sure if he went to the pros. He had a great pick against Ohio State. I think he had a, did he have a pick six in that game? So Weathers may not have, and I don't know if Ray actually played for the Raiders, but I think everybody else, Dahani, Gold, I mean, the entire front wall. James Hall didn't get drafted, but as a free agent, played for the Lions. I don't think the 97 offense was lacking. What are we talking about? You know, pro, they were a championship team. A championship team. But I'll tell you this, if this team goes out and, you know, they've got a chance. I mean, they're right there with them. It's not over yet. I'm still not, you know, just discounting the 97 team compared to this one, but I get it. And statistically, the defense, even though this Michigan team gave up 15 yards, that 97 team, they gave up even less yards scoring per game. So, yeah, this defense is great, but were they as good as 97? This team has to prove more, because once Michigan beat Ohio State in 97, they were on to the championship game. Then they just had to beat Washington State. Michigan now has to beat Purdue, which they should. And then they have to go to the semifinal, and, you know, who knows? They could be a double-digit favorite in that game. They got a nice path right now. But this team has a tougher road ahead of them. And it looks like, we don't know who they're going to play in that championship game, that they'd have a tougher championship game. Nothing against Ryan Leaf and company. But, you know, it's different now. And, you know, you're talking to, now I call myself an old guy. I'm old enough where I could go back and remember 97 and, you know, and just how good that team was. And it can be a difficult people for folks that get older to pass the torch to us. So I'm factoring that in, like, oh, don't compare Charles Woodson. No, you compare them. Like, these are undefeated teams and teams with a chance to win the championship. This team's got to complete the task. They could be up to it. They have a tougher road. But I'm not ready today to put the 2022 Michigan team above the 97 team. Man. Somebody gave me some feedback, and I tell people to, you know, send me feedback. Guys, like, you spend way too much time answering questions. And I spent a long time answering that particular question. But that's a good question to think about. 97 to 2022. This year's team to the 97 championship team. So, and like I was going to tell the guy, I didn't get a chance to, you know, I didn't respond to him. But if you think that, he said, your podcast is way too long. And you answer questions for too long. And I thought, well, if you don't like the question, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself. You just fast forward. And if you look in the description, if it's either the podcast or the VCast, it says what I talk about in there. So if you're looking at it, and it'll say in today's podcast, it will say 97 compared to 2022. And if you look at that and you're like, I don't want to hear him going on about that comparison for, what, 10 minutes? Let's go to the next topic. You didn't want to hear Mozzie Smith being talked about for 25 minutes? Well, you know what you can do? Zip. Skip right ahead. I do that. I also listen to what's his name? Sometimes I listen to him. Russo, the Mad Dog, does a show. And his open is like 4 minutes. He plays this Springsteen song. He goes on and on, you know, hey! And then he doesn't get to anything. He's always talking about, yeah, here's his producer. And so, you know what I do? I just start it 4 minutes in, and he goes through all the little particulars, and then 4 minutes in, he starts talking. I don't know. I got that one. You get it. Let's see. Adam likes talking about this. He's got good points and comments and questions. He's now looking back to Saturday's game and saying, if they played five quarters, we would have scored two or three more touchdowns. Yeah, you know what, Adam? Yeah. If they would have played six quarters, they would have beat them by 100. I think I have said it now at least 10 times. I'm going to say it for the 11th. Whatever Michigan does at the half, I want them to bottle it up and sell it, because I will buy it. And I don't know how much they're going to charge. That's my thought for, you know, Michigan doesn't want the donors giving money to recruits for the name, image, and likeness. They don't want signing bonuses. They don't want, the whole road that we've gone down a million times. Okay. How about you guys go ahead and bottle up whatever you were cooking up at halftime, and then give it to me, and I will sell it, and I will give all the money to the recruits, or just a small fee I will take for myself, and I'll still make a lot of money. Who says no? Even if it says on the bottom, like, hey, there's really nothing in here. This is just a Michigan. This is just a Michigan NI name, image, and likeness type situation. But we're doing it. We're going to give it a try. Fancy bottle. Halftime. All right. Okay. Mark wasn't here all game long, all day long, all game long. Adam, who I'm not sure how many shows that he's been in on, his messages keep popping up here. Eric All said, Finna to come back, which I believe that means he is coming back. Here's somebody talking about Stephen Toski being the GOAT, no cap. Yeah, he is, you know, Toski is, he is a GOAT. He knows how to take the film and push pause and draw arrows to what's happening next. And then he'll draw a circle and then he'll go in slow motion and then he'll rewind it. And then he will do it. And he's good at it. I'm with you on that. You know, I think that we could just sit around talking about Michigan for another 2 hours here. Mark wants to talk about Corum's NFL stock. He should come back and win the Heisman and seal the deal. Eric All coming back. You know, let me just let me comment on that. I saw what was his name from Michigan State? Canine, Kenneth Walker. He was drafted in the second round last year. I would think it would depend on where Corum, let's just say that he goes to the NFL. But do I think that he could be drafted in the second round? I don't think he would be a first-round pick. You know, running backs, it's tough to get drafted in the first round. But the second round, second or third round seems very reasonable to me as I look at it. And a lot will depend on, it always does. You know, he goes out and runs a 4-4, you know, I'll tell you that he's going to get drafted in the second round. But the point that I was looking at is the money, guaranteed money that K-9 got last year from the Seahawks. And it's about, you know, he would have to get a pretty good NIL deal to stay around considering the kind of money that K-9 got. However, you know, Michigan with name, image, and likeness, you know, if they can keep a player or two or three or, I don't know, four that might otherwise be a third or fourth rounder, in this case, you know, maybe Blake Corum. And if they can give these guys the kind of money, it doesn't have to be equal, I don't know, but can they make it worth their while for these guys to stay around? And why I am encouraged by this is that, again, what Jared Wengler said in the offseason, like, no, Michigan, they don't want to get down in the weeds. And even though nobody cares, even though everybody else is doing it, and there's a lot of, but Michigan doesn't want to give signing bonuses. They don't want to do it. It's a hill that they're on. And, you know, but he said that they could get a lot of money once they're here and they stay. Well, these are the examples. Pay the man his money. Give him some money. Keep these guys around. That would be the counter to the name, image, and likeness. That's what I want to see Michigan do. I want to see him get Zach Zinter and bring him back with a healthy payday. I want to see him give Corum a boatload of money, you know, to come back. I know they have other options out there. The kid from Wisconsin, the kid from Stanford. I know all that's out. All these things are in play. Some guys just want to go to the pros. And yeah, Michigan might not be able to give $5 million guaranteed like Corum might get if he's drafted. But this is what I'm thinking about with name, image, and likeness and the recruiting season, which is now just, you know, 3 weeks to national signing or the early signing period, February 1st, the national signing day. I'm waiting for them to, you know, pull something off here. I'm also thinking that it's not a real fun thing to think about. I'm thinking that if in 3 weeks Michigan ends up like the, you know, 25th or 30th ranked recruiting class, and they're in the freaking college football playoff 2 years in a row, the old saying that winning takes care of everything except paying guys money up front is going to be put to the test. And like I said, I'm not upset because Michigan, you know, taking the lay of the land and being patient and, you know, strategically going about name, image, and likeness, and maybe they're going to give the money to the guys that are on the team, and that's going to be worth more than a, you know, a four-star, maybe even a five-star, you know, getting guys to come back. You know, that's not a bad strategy. I like the strategy. We'll see how that works. But I'm telling you right now, in 3 weeks, if Michigan has a 29th-ranked recruiting class, people are going to be freaking out. Not me. People, because I said, hey, sacrifice a year and see how that goes. But part of the sacrifice is that Michigan fans are going to be in meltdown mode. And it's going to be understandable. And so sometimes you have to see it and you have to feel the pressure to say, okay, we've went out there. Winning hasn't taken care of everything, actually. These guys, they want their guaranteed money. So we're either going to have to give them guaranteed money. We're going to have to tell the boosters that, yeah, we'd like you giving us money, but you're going to have to give some extra money to somebody else. And we're going to have to play that game. And nothing is going to leverage would-be recruits in a 30th-ranked recruiting class and Michigan fans being in the college football playoff and saying, what the hell? So I also think Jim Harbaugh can get in there and you know, whatever his next move will be from transformational and transactional, he's going to be like, we're going to have to get a little bit into the transactional, I think, if we're going to want to get some stars. Or we're just going to be three-star you. Well, we'll see. I think there's going to be some fire lit. There'll be some leverage. We're seeing how that all plays out. Remember, Michigan's, you know, they got a business school. Like, they've got a lot of people that are strategizing. Now, I would like to be in some of those meetings and say, well, what about this? Forget all that. Rules. I'm not just kidding about that. You know, forget about this integrity, doing it the right way. I mean, like, those are the things that, like, they're the buzzwords, you know, about, but there's ways around that. It's business. It's college football. It's a dog eat dog world. Recruiting's a dirty business. It needs to be a little transactional. A little bit more. But Harbaugh, you know, he's already in the catbird seat. What he wants, he should get. When Harbaugh picks up the phone and says, I want a bunch of money going to this five-star, the money should be going to him. There shouldn't be anything. So it's going to, I think it's good news ahead. All right, I've done enough here today, I think. Tomorrow, today, we were going to talk about J.J. McCarthy and where he's going. Tomorrow, we'll talk about it. It changed like 10 minutes before the show with the news with Mazi Smith. We'll have more, the latest on that situation. Thanks to Trevor McHugh from the Maize and Blue Review, our senior editor. He's working on a story right now that I'm sure in the discussion and debate and talk is ongoing there. That's where I'm heading. And until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, see you later. Thanks for listening, watching. Goodbye.